Welcome, virtual entrepreneurs, millennials on the go, and adventure seekers with big dreams. You found the right place. My name is Alexis Teichmiller, a millennial, lifestyle blogger, and digital creative. The Laptop Lifestyle is designed to inspire, educate, and challenge you to live the life you want every day. Together, let's unlock how to live the laptop lifestyle to the fullest. What up, Laptop Lifestylers? It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here, and I am thrilled to bring this special guest to you. His name is Ben Coach K. Kassam, and he is a teacher, best-selling author, life coach, and the creator of the Coach K Show, or the Coach K Podcast. I have had the pleasure of being interviewed on Ben's podcast. It was a rockin' interview. I will definitely link that up in the show notes for you guys to check that out. And I also was in Colorado in the Denver area this past week and got to meet Ben in person for dinner because that's what entrepreneurs in 2016 do when they don't know each other is they just meet on Instagram, be on each other's podcasts, and then meet for dinner, right?
That's exactly, I think that's actually the step-by-step process.
That's a step-by-step process of how that's supposed to work. So I gave a little bit of an intro to you, Ben, but I would love for you to tell me your story and why you are passionate about coaching.
Sure. So Alexis, thank you for having me on your show. Like you mentioned, it was a pleasure to have you on my podcast and really looking forward to this interview. But anyway, I have been a coach for several years in different capacities. I went to school to be a teacher. I've always kind of seen myself as a teacher or that person in the room leading a group of people, helping people change, helping people make connections and have aha moments and teaching them a better way to live. That's been my goal since I started. And along the way, I decided that I wanted to try my hand at being an entrepreneur. And I wrote a book called Confined to a Cave, the 30-Day Mental Jailbreak for Making Health a Lifelong Habit. My book basically takes people on a 30-day journey, perspective shifts, a lot of different tools and different insights and things like that that will help somebody turn exercise and diet into lifelong habits. From there, once I published the book, I started blogging and quickly found myself coaching, taking on coaching clients. And as recently as like June of this year, I've been unemployed and since been a full-time entrepreneur. I'm now hosting a podcast, the Coach K Show on iTunes, and working to, or I guess at the moment, building my coaching practice up and taking some extended travel overseas. I'm going to be going overseas for 7 months, backpacking and actually showing people that goal achievement or reaching your goals is possible in any setting, as long as you're committed to the process and the aligned to the vision that you have for what you want or what it is that you want to achieve. Outside of that, though, I'm an NLP master practitioner, so I am trained in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. If you're not familiar with NLP, that's something that any of your listeners, entrepreneurs, or anybody who's listening that wants to have a better perspective on how to live and how to achieve great outcomes, I would recommend that you check out NLP or take a listen to my podcast. We talk about NLP, and I bring on guests pretty regularly that are versed in the content.
That is incredible. So I want to dive into this book that you wrote because I know that's kind of the catalyst as to what transitioned you into coaching clients. People read the book. It was kind of the tool that gave you the authority to then start coaching and then take your business full time. So it's called Confined to a Cave. And tell me why you wrote it and then the process of writing a book. Because I think sometimes people see a big thing like writing a book as like an end goal, like, oh, and I'm going to be an author. But you started with that first, which I think is incredible. So tell me about that.
Sure. So my story, I guess I kind of missed out on this at the beginning, but my story involves being overweight and not knowing how to make exercise and diet into lifelong habits. And so I felt early on that I had a book inside of me based on the experiences I've gone through, something I think that has always been a strength of mine is being able to empathize with other people, especially people who struggle to make change or struggle to reach their goals, because that's been something that has plagued my life and my happiness and my fulfillment. So the book Confined to a Cave, the analogy of being confined to a cave is actually a hidden or a stolen, I guess, allegory by the philosopher Plato. I learned about the allegory of the cave, which is something to read for your people listening. If you're looking for something different to check out, I learned about it in college and started to think that it drew a lot of similarities to the process that I went through, going from never working out and being exhausted, you know, running up a flight of stairs and being 215 pounds as a 12-year-old to being one of the fitter people in my, you know, school and in my surrounding, and surrounding myself with competitive athletes and becoming one of them. So my book, you know, the funniest thing about the book, and I think the biggest thing I've learned with achieving large goals, there's a lot of things that people hope to obtain from achieving large goals, whether that's losing weight, writing a book, starting a business, whatever it is that you set for yourself. People are expecting to not only, you know, have something out of it at the end, but hoping to become a different person from whatever it is that they set, whatever goal it is that they set. And for me, the biggest lesson that I learned from writing a book is that success is not A to B. And so what I did was start writing this book, and I wrote it up to 70,000 words on a Microsoft Word document, which was probably close to 100 pages, and went through and read it. This was about 2 months into the journey of writing it, maybe 2 or 3 months, and realized that it was crap. And I deleted 55,000 words out of the book right then and there. But at that point, I hadn't even thought of the confined to a cave allegory. I hadn't even put it, you know, I hadn't yet had the idea or the vision for what the book was going to be. I was just writing blog posts, if that makes sense. And
yeah,
I hit 70,000 words, and it was very painful to delete 55,000 of those words and pretty much start from scratch. But that's what I mean by success is not an A to B process. You go through these trials and tribulations as you climb the mountain, and you learn things about yourself and you learn things about the process along the way that serve you in future endeavors, in future relationships, and in future moments of opportunity and moments of adversity. So that book gave me the confidence to do everything that I have done to date. I can't say there's anything harder I've ever done in my life than force myself to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning for close to 8 months to just pen, you know, put pen to paper or put my hands on a computer and type for 2 hours before I did anything else. And from that, I've had some great breakthroughs and some things I'm really proud of. But that journey is one of the reasons that I think using a vehicle like goal achievement is such a worthwhile message to send. And it's a worthwhile discipline to be teaching to others.
Always be teaching, right? Especially as a coach.
I can't see myself doing anything else, Alexis, honestly. And that's a lesson to people listening to your podcast. You have to know who you are, and you have to know what gives you energy naturally. That's one of the first things I talk to a new client about. It's interesting with the NLP model. A lot of times I'll have clients come to me that want to lose weight or want to write a book or start a business or fix relationships. And by the end of the first session, we're talking about something completely different and what they're actually going to work on or set as a goal going forward doesn't always have to do with the first thing we talk about. So a lot of that initial conversation is educational, and that's what I enjoy. That's my favorite part of coaching and of being an entrepreneur, is I have the opportunity to teach and to create my own, you know, methodology around how I teach the content that I do.
So what kind of coach are you? So you coach people on fitness, goal setting, how to break bad habits. I mean, is it kind of broad, or do you kind of, I guess my question would be to take me along the process of how do you define what you are coaching somebody? Because everybody's so different.
Right. So I would call myself an achievement coach or an engineer of producing a result or achieving a result that somebody's looking to produce for themselves. So whether that be losing weight, like I kind of mentioned, I have that background of losing weight and being in the fitness space and actually coaching in the fitness space for several years as well. I'm able to give the specifics sometimes as to what they need to do. But the reality is, Alexis, like, and you know this, most people know what they have to do. And it's not that somebody doesn't have the information that they need to, you know, sleep better and eat better and exercise more and stop drinking and partying and whatever that looks like in their own life. It's not that they don't know that they need to stop doing that. It's that they need to figure out a way to stop self-sabotaging and figure out a plan that's going to work for them. So really the first thing we do is we talk through what's plagued somebody in the past. And one of the most powerful questions I ask in a coaching call is, well, I mean, what's stopping you? What is it that you're not doing right now that's preventing you from getting to where you want to be? And that's what I'm talking about, where these underlying meanings come on. I start to hear, well, you know, I can't get myself to lose weight because I like to binge eat at nighttime. And we talk about that further. Well, why do you binge eat? It's like, well, because I want to feel good. And then next thing you know, you're talking about things that happened years ago that have made them upset, or things that people are holding on to that just plague them from producing the result that they want or achieving the goal that they want to achieve. It's really interesting, the labels that we apply to the things we want. We say we want a better relationship, or we want a better body, or we want a stronger bank account, or a healthier life, whatever it is. And those things usually represent other more basic primitive needs that all of us want. We just, for some reason, have decided that those are the thing, that's what we're going to go after to try to obtain that, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Can you speak more to that? Because I think sometimes we mask our primal natural needs with grandiose dreams. And sometimes we need to get what's right on the inside first before going after these big goals.
Yeah. So it really, I mean, you could pick any area of your life. It could be an area that you've struggled with. Actually, let's take an area that you're really proficient with. And I'll choose from my own life. Fitness would be an example. It's something that I've been above average at for a few years, and I have been on, you know, both sides of the spectrum with it. So I can empathize with anybody really in that space. So when you spend years in the fitness space and you start to become one of the top people, you're not only the top people in your gym or the top people in your group of friends, or you're surrounding yourself with people that have, you know, similar mindset to you and similar values that you have around fitness. Well, that's what we mean by making fitness a lifestyle, or living the hustle lifestyle, or creating an entrepreneurial lifestyle. We in essence are creating a lifestyle around the goals or the things that we care about. And so fitness not only is giving me this result of having a healthier, more attractive body, but it's giving me the need to connect with other people because all my friends are in the fitness space. It's giving me a sense of fulfillment because I'm pushing myself on a daily basis and I'm feeling stronger and feeling more capable. It's developing me in other areas too. And so the reality and kind of the sad truth of it is we judge people for what they value most and what they care about the most in this world. But a lot of times, the if not all the time, it's really just we're choosing different vehicles. What, you know, the fulfillment I get out of fitness might be the fulfillment you get out of being an entrepreneur. And the same thing goes for bad habits, like the sense of feeling social or feeling like you're socially healthy could come from smoking cigarettes because all your friends smoke cigarettes. And then you sit there and go, why can't I get myself to stop partying, or why can't I get myself to stop smoking? Well, I've attached a deeper meaning to the behaviors that I'm enlisting on a regular basis.
Oh, I love that. That makes so much sense. And I feel like that's something that we have to first recognize before we can take action. And so I would love to know what keeps you motivated and what inspires you to take risks and take action in order to break those habits and then achieve your goals.
That's a broad question. And I think it's funny because motivation is something that people look to as, I think people are in one of two buckets when it comes to motivation. One, they either, if they struggle to achieve their goals, they feel like they've drawn the short end of the stick. They feel like they're not capable of being motivated to lose weight, to start a business, et cetera. Or two, they feel like their motivation kind of fluctuates in and out. And then people who are aligned consistently to the vision that they have or to whatever it is that they're trying to achieve know that motivation comes and goes, but it really is your habits and the things that you commit to on a daily basis that are going to produce the results that you want. But to answer your question, I feel like with motivation for me, a lot of it is a combination of the three senses that, I think we actually talked about this on when you came on my podcast as well. So in NLP, we have what's called the VAK model, the visual, auditory, and kinesthetic model. So that's see, hear, and feel. And for me, whenever I work with a client or whenever I'm struggling to find motivation, I always make sure that I can see, hear, and feel what it is that I'm trying to produce or what it is that I'm working on. And so NLP, a lot of NLP is actually deconstructing thoughts as opposed to judging them and looking at how the thought is constructed in your head. So if I'm picturing this result of having a stronger bank account and it's kind of off in the distance and it's blurry and I can't really hear what other people are saying and I can't really feel that sense of accomplishment that's coming, it's going to come with the hard work I'm going to have to put in to have that money in my bank account. Well, that's not really going to motivate me. That's not going to make me feel this sense of urgency towards producing the result that I'm looking for. And so for myself, that's kind of a good way to audit the things that I'm working on. If I'm struggling to get my butt out of bed early in the morning to finish my morning routine, which is a huge, huge staple in what I would contribute to the success that I've had, relative success that I've had early on, is getting up and doing a morning routine every day. And the days that I can't motivate myself to get up and do a morning routine are usually the ones where I haven't really clearly pictured what it is that I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I can't really feel that sense of accomplishment that comes with it and things like that.
Great advice. And I've actually been thinking about that a lot lately as far as what my goals are. Can I see them? Can I feel them? And can I hear them? And so I think that that's very applicable to anybody who is wanting to achieve some type of goal, to think about what that would look like for them. So I know that you started out as a teacher and you grew up on the East Coast. You moved to the Denver, Colorado area. You started out as a gym teacher. Tell me the transition from gym teacher to online entrepreneur slash coach.
So when my students would refer to physical education as gym, I would say, "Gym who?" So I'm going to throw that at you. Gym who? I would never let my kids call it gym class. We always called it PE. But going back to the vehicles we talked about a little while ago, I think fitness was the vehicle for me that helped me to discover the personal development world. The reason I was able to lose weight in high school and going into college was because I met my PE teacher in high school and he helped me lose about 80 pounds. And I think that was kind of the grassroots movement for me falling in love with personal development and discipline and working hard and committing myself to something that couldn't be accomplished overnight. And so I think it was probably towards the end of college when I discovered the personal development world, started reading books and started, you know, listening to the thought leaders in that space and thinking, where has this been all my life? Like, this would have helped me so much if I'd had this early on. And I was really drawn to it. And so that was, you know, when that idea of wanting to write a book started. And that was when the little ideas inside of my brain, those creative things that we all have at times, you know, started to pop up. And then I moved to Denver for my job, and I actually had a little bit of extra time my first year as a teacher because I wasn't full time. So I had my mornings off, and I just decided that I was going to give it a shot. I was going to write a book and I was going to see what happened. And I was fortunate. I think that going back, even looking back to 2 years ago, like, I was a little naive as to how much work it was going to take to get where I want to go. And I'm still at the very beginning of the movement or the things that I'm hoping to create in my lifetime, but I have that time. And so over the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been slowly putting things in place, and it worked out to where I was able to jump ship after a few years in the classroom and working with kids to help them create healthy habits and using personal development concepts that I use with my clients with my kids. It was just a natural fit and a natural transition. And I enjoy being an entrepreneur more because I have more control over it. Everything that I do is stamped with my name. And so that motivates me to work harder as opposed to being piece of the puzzle or whatever, what have you. In an organization, you don't have full control unless you're the top dog. And I think that's, some people love that. But for me right now, I feel like it is a healthier and more enjoyable lifestyle for me to run my own show for right now.
I completely understand that. And I think that, I want to congratulate you because that's so exciting that you saw that and you went after it and that you were able to actually achieve it. And now you look at the example that you've become. You know, after 2 years of idea to reality, you did the work and you put in the time and you created this life that you're living now. And that's a beautiful thing. You are 24, right? 24, 25?
I'll be 25 in a couple weeks.
Yes. Yeah, so I'd love for you to talk about the fact that you're young and the challenges that come along with that when building an online business, building authority, and especially with maybe some of your clients that might be older than you. How do you show them that you, one, you know, have the authority to do what you're doing, and then also not use your age as a crutch to not go after your goals? Because I think a lot of young entrepreneurs think that they're either too young, and then a lot of older entrepreneurs think that they're too old.
So the confidence to execute anything comes from discipline, and the discipline comes from you putting in the work every day to achieve whatever it is that you want. And so I'll be honest with you. I think this is a really important learning point to your listeners and really important to anybody who's thinking about taking the leap. You need to put in the work, and that you're going to hear on every other podcast and in every other book that it doesn't happen overnight, but I'll do my part to contribute to that here and say that early on, I was full of it. I was full of myself, and I didn't understand that people know when you're not aligned, you know, you're not congruent with the things you're saying, when you're not confident in your ability to deliver. Even so much as it sounds silly, but putting something out on social media that you don't feel confident about, you know, you didn't work that hard on. Like early on, that I said, if I could go back and do it again, I would have put more time, more energy, and more effort into my writing, into the little things. And I would have done those little things really well. That is the biggest thing I've learned over time is, you know, people don't care how old you are. They don't care who you are. They don't care where you come from. They don't care what certifications that you have. They care that you're comfortable in your own skin. They care that you know what you're talking about, and they care that you can give them the result that they're looking for. To that point, I know that there are some people who are going to look at my age and they're going to say that he's not, you know, ready to do this, or he's not capable of doing that. And that's okay. I mean, that's something that I'm going to have to accept. And it just helps me to hyper-focus more on the people that I can help right now. But I think it's important to realize that when you're aligned to, you know, a 10, 20, however many year vision, that these are the steps that people are never going to see. Like these are the, you know, this is the beginning of things that people, you know, the people that even know me now or know you now, Alexis, or know anybody listening to this now, they're not going to remember those later on if you do have more success. And the only way to get to more success or to be one of those people who the majority of people will go, yeah, he knows what he's talking about, is to consistently put in the work, because that ability to be comfortable in your skin and to speak congruently that you know what you're talking about and that you can give somebody results only comes from you putting in the work and getting to the point where you understand it so well that you can deliver it from several different angles. You can empathize with somebody. You know what they're thinking before they're thinking it. And that doesn't come overnight. That comes from putting in the work.
Amen. Putting in the work, time, and experience, and allowing yourself to grow in the process instead of beating yourself up over every mistake you make. Because why? I mean, of course, learning from those mistakes, but sometimes whenever you focus so much on what you're not, you lose sight of what you are. And so I love that you are able to take something like your age and use it as an opportunity instead of, you know, a negative factor. But in that, you have to have a lot of confidence. And with confidence, sometimes comes this ego struggle. So as you're growing your business, as you are now a full-time entrepreneur, talk to me about the struggle between confidence and ego.
So ego is really a distortion of reality. And I think that's sort of what I was alluding to a minute ago with what was happening to me early on. I was distorting. I was like, oh, well, you know, people won't know. People will just, you know, assume that it's good, or that I'm doing things right. And the reality is, like, you have to be willing to accept the fact that people know when you're not real with them, and people know when you're kind of full of yourself or full of it. And, I think that's something that everybody needs to keep in check. I also think that having some ego this will probably resonate with you depending on where your listeners are in their entrepreneurial journey, but it might resonate a little bit differently. But you got to have some ego, because what we do is not the normal path. What we're doing is not the normal path. And you have to be able to separate yourself from the results that you're getting and from the feedback, especially, that you get from other people, or else you're never going to make it. So I'm not saying that I need to be, you know, pompous and arrogant. I think that's the exact opposite of what I need to be. But there's a healthy balance between me consistently putting in the work, like closing my mouth and putting in the work, and arriving at the point where I in some way can deliver results and seem like I know what I'm talking about, but also in being able to distort reality enough that you don't let in the critics from outside. You don't let in the people that will drag you down, the haters and things like that. Because if you let those people control what you focus on, you truly are what you focus on, and the results that you get are the result of what you focus on, you won't make it. And so there is a healthy balance, but I think it's more of like a 90-10 where it's silently putting the work in day after day. And then 10%, you just kind of know who you are and you're self-aware and you don't let other people dictate, you know, what is success for you.
Yeah, you got to own it. You got to own who you are. You have to own your choices, own the path you take. And with that comes confidence and reassurance and the fact that you made the right decision and you're working towards something. But I love the 90% silently working and 10% being confident in who you are. I think that's a beautiful ratio. So as an entrepreneur, how do you handle stress in midst of time crunches, deadlines, and sometimes missed opportunities and failures?
This is something I've actually struggled with, and I'll be totally open and vulnerable with you here. That's actually an area that I have really had difficulty with most of my life, is balancing stress and letting stress overwhelm me. And the thing with stress, I feel confident saying this, having some background in physiology and understanding of how the body works, stress will kill you faster than anything else. Like, stress is how people get disease and how people get sick. And so I'm at a juncture now where I've been doing this long enough where it's not cute to be stressed anymore. It's not professional, and it's actually not like, it's just hurting me at this point. I think early on it's easy to romanticize with, stayed up late tonight. I didn't get enough sleep. I did this and I did that. And I haven't been taking care of myself.
That.
But after a few years, you're like, I don't feel like, I joke sometimes, but I mean it when I say, like, I feel like I have more miles on my body than the average 24-year-old person. And that's not a good thing. So I'm at a spot now where I'm trying to see what that looks like for me. I know that there are certain forms of movement that particularly help me to decompress. I'm trying to get back to reading more regularly. I think reading makes me a better coach and a better teacher. And if I didn't have so much stuff going on all the time, I think I would read for hours on end and only do that if I could. But I do need to start integrating some of those things back into my life. But it's funny because I was working two jobs, if you count my full-time job and running a business. And I'm working more hours in the week now that I'm doing this full-time. But because I'm more often than not aligned to what I want and working on things that I think will serve me down the road and that serve a true purpose, not that school didn't, but more so now. And because I own it, it's more congruent with who I want to be and where I want to head. It doesn't always register that I'm working, and that sounds cheesy, but you have that's why I tell clients, like, if it brings you energy, keep it in your life. If you find something that naturally brings you energy without you doing anything, like, it needs to stay. You need to figure out a way to integrate that into your life. And so for me, that's specific forms of movement, like, you know, long walks, listening to a podcast or reading a book or spending time around friends without technology. Things like that are what bring me energy. And I need to do a better job. And anybody listening to this, I would challenge you to try and do a better job making sure that that's at the forefront of what it is that you're doing.
So keeping the things in your life that give you energy, and I also challenge anyone listening to take away and cut out the things in life that don't give you energy or that drain you consistently from energy. Because anybody that wants to do anything in life that is big, anybody that wants to take a risk, make a career change, move to a new city, whatever that might be for you, you also have to realize that focusing on the things that give you energy is incredible. But almost as important, if not equally important, is noticing and becoming aware of the things in your life that drain you of energy. So I'd love for you to speak to that as much as how do you cut out things that don't give you energy? And then as well as how do you surround yourself with friends who do give you energy? And how do you cut the ones out who don't?
So you said something really important there that I don't think can be understated enough, and that you can't change something that you're not aware of. We walk through life, and that's why self-awareness and knowing who you are is so important. You literally can't change something until you've brought it to the forefront of your mind. You can't address it until you're focusing on it. And that's why you'll hear online, or you'll hear me say, or you'll hear Alexis say, you are what you focus on. And what you're focusing on is going to determine the result that you get. Because until you start focusing on it and make it known that it either needs to be changed or that you want to make it better, you can't produce those results. So that's like the two steps behind to delivering even to getting to that starting line to start producing results for yourself. You need to know what is taking energy away from you. And oftentimes, let's call a spade for a spade, it's probably people. There have been people in my life in the past that have drained my energy, and it's not easy to say goodbye to people. And I'm not saying that you need to cut people out of your life, just like, see you later. But this goes back to this congruency, this being aligned to the vision that you have, and being self-aware and knowing what you want. There's a lesson that I'll often teach people early on, and it's like the pain pleasure principle. It's not anything that's rocket science, but everything that we do, all human behavior, is the result of you either seeking pain or avoiding pleasure. And if you want to make something into a lifelong habit, you need to figure out a way to make something more painful than something else, or more pleasurable than something else, so that you switch the behavior. And so I think there's that point you arrive at, and I think everybody's had this feeling before, where you're doing something and you care so much about it, and you're working so hard that you're getting so many things are changing about you, not just your body, but your mind, and not to be corny here, but like your spirit actually changes. Like, who you are as a person starts to shift and you start to grow. And then you've probably had this happen to you before, where someone comes out of the woodworks and talks smack about what you're doing, and you just think, well, they don't get it. Like, they don't know what I'm doing. And when you arrive at that point, I think that's the ultimate success. I really think that that's the first point where you're like, you've basically told the universe that this is what you're doing, and it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. And that's like the first milestone that you need to get to, or that you should be shooting for, when it comes to achieving any big goal. Now, that said, if you have a lot of negative people in your life, there is really no science behind it. You have to just decide who those people are, who the people are that are going to bring you energy, who the people are that are your biggest supporters, and then who the people are that just, you know, they're kind of dead weight in that sense. And I don't mean as people they're dead weight, but to your goal and to the things that you're trying to create, they are. And you have to determine, you know, what you value most. Is keeping those people around worth it? Or could you do with, you know, seeing them less? Could you do with talking to them less? Could you do with not letting their opinions weigh so heavily on what it is that you're doing? And that's all something that you have to work out with yourself.
You first have to become aware. Yeah, for sure. And I love that we talked about that on your podcast. And again, I'll link that up in the show notes. We really talked a lot about awareness and how to become aware of yourself, and sometimes how you can be, you know, you can be your own worst enemy and your own worst critic, and sometimes you don't even realize it. So taking the step to see the negativity in your own thoughts, in your own life, as well as the people around you, is really the first step in taking action. But I also wonder, what's it like to overcome circumstances out of your control? Like, what advice would you give to somebody whose circumstances bind them to where they are, whether it be finances, whether it be a relationship or a marriage, whether it be where they live? How do you overcome that? Because I know that you can overcome circumstances, because I have and you have. But for someone who is so focused on, let's say, money, for instance, so focused on money or being in a negative relationship, how do you overcome that? And how do you stop looking at things as a negative attribute and start looking at them as an opportunity to learn and to grow from those experiences?
So this is the exact example that I think will drive home why focus is so important, because the way you said it a second ago kind of answers the question. How do I get somebody to stop focusing on what they can't control? Well, I've asked them to start focusing on what they can control. And when you start controlling the things that you can control, you start to produce different results, and you start seeing the world differently, and new doors open up that weren't there before. So let's take a bad relationship, for example. If you are seeing somebody, or you've been with somebody for a long time, or you just have friends in your life that do certain things that are difficult for you to process, or difficult for you to move on from, or things that just kind of take up space in your brain and take away energy, well, you need to think about those things and think about what can I control about this situation. You know, if somebody, for example, we could be extreme. If you're in a relationship where somebody is abusive in some capacity, well, what do you control in that situation? You control the decision whether or not to remain in that relationship. And then it gets even, that's a macro example. But if we go micro, I mean, what can I control about my finances? Well, I want more money. My goal is to have more money. But you're focused on going out every weekend and spending two or three nights out at the bars or downtown or spending money on clothes. That's a common one. Things like that. My focus is on producing this level of fulfillment and joy that only spending money can give me. But as soon as I shift my focus to, well, how can I create a lifestyle for myself where I care about my money, but I also still get those things? The power of questions are so important, because when you ask yourself a question the correct way, you get the results you're looking for. So I challenge anybody listening to this that's struggling with an area of their life and trying to produce a result that they haven't gotten before, ask yourself, what would this look like if it were easy and fun and I had total control over it? If I had total control over the situation and it were easy and fun for me to do, what would that look like? And then when you ask yourself that question, now you've put yourself in a spot where you're focusing on only the things you can control, your attitude, the action that you're taking, the words that are coming out of your mouth, the decisions you're making with your money, with your time each day, with the people that you spend time around. And then you're making decisions based on it being fun and easy, which is the ultimate goal, because the only way you're going to produce the result you're looking for is by doing something consistently, doing it daily, and you don't do things you don't like regularly. It's just true. I mean, that's just the reality.
Yeah, for sure. I love that so much. I love what you said. And I think that you just shed so much light on that. And I've been thinking about that a lot since our dinner in Denver, is what would it look like if I looked at the situation as if it were fun and easy, and then how would I react and how would I speak? So thank you for that. And I'm gonna write that out and put that in the show notes as a quote, because that's gold. So you are getting ready to travel the world for 7 months. You are taking off, you're leaving America, and you are going to see the world. So I would love for you to tell me and tell the audience, one, why it's important to travel, and two, how are you going to run your business from across the world and live the laptop lifestyle?
So I actually have never traveled before. I've never left the country. And so this is going to be a really interesting experience for me. One of my, I guess, the overarching goal of the entire project or the experiment is to show people that when you commit to a daily process, no matter what it is that you have going on, and when you commit to the process and can commit to controlling the things that you can control and focusing on the right things, you can still produce any result that you want. And so I actually publish a monthly goals report that detail how closely in alignment I was to the goals that I set for the previous month. And if your listeners want to check those out, you can just go to my website and they're right on the homepage. But I want to be authentic and prove or disprove that it's possible to achieve things while you have a lot of stuff going on, while you're living out of a backpack, while you're living off of a laptop. And so I plan to continue working towards my business goals while I travel and still see other parts of the world. I think that this experience, for a reason for having this experience, is that it's going to be like personal development on steroids. I'm going to have opportunities to meet people and to experience things that I just wouldn't have that opportunity to do otherwise. And it's going to strengthen my perspective on how humans operate and how humans optimize and how humans love and connect with others across the world. And I'm excited to put myself into situations where I'm going to be vulnerable by default and figure out how to grow from them or learn from them or be better the next time after those situations take place. It's going to be an interesting experience, and I won't lie. I think there's going to be some opportunities where I may be intimidated or nervous or something like that. And it's just going to be a journey that will, I think, shape a lot of the next few years of my business, my entrepreneurial journey, and then the other things that I'm working on too.
I am so excited for you. I cannot wait to follow you on Instagram and see all of your travel pictures, as well as see the kind of content that you're going to produce from traveling and from learning so much about different cultures and the way that they do business and life and the way that they love. And also what you learn about yourself, because I think there's something about travel that really, whenever you get to see the world, you also get to see yourself in a different way, because you realize that the world that you live in is so much smaller than the world around you, because it just gives you so much perspective. So I'm so excited for that for you. And I can't wait to hop on a call and hear all about it whenever you get back next summer. But what is the future for you? What is the future of your business? What are your goals as far as what you would like to achieve?
So a couple minutes ago, we were talking about the power of questions. And so in the last month, maybe 2 months, it's been maybe even longer than that now, I've shifted the focus of what the Coach K Show does and what the Coach K Show is and what it's about. And so it all focuses around a central question. And the question is, it starts with a sentence. We've all met that person who seems to be successful at everything that they do. We've all met that person that just, for whatever reason, seems to dominate. They seem to surround themselves with good people. They seem to excel at work. They seem to excel in relationships. They have, you know, an attractive physical appearance, whether that's actually looking good or just walking into a room with a strong demeanor. We all know what that looks like. We've all probably seen somebody and can probably list a few people that we would define as that person. How do I become that person is the central question of the work that I'm doing.
I know 100% that that is going to happen for you, because you are the most goal-oriented person that I have met at such a young age. And honestly, for anybody listening, just go check out his podcast, The Coach K Show. I absolutely love his podcast. He talks a lot about goal setting and how to achieve goals, as well as mindset, positivity, and awareness. And if anybody's interested in really tapping into that potential, definitely check out his podcast. Ben, I just have one more question actually before we go, but before, I would love for you to share where people can find you online.
Yeah, so you can find me on iTunes, Stitcher, the regular places that podcasts are located. Just type in The Coach K Show and you'll find me there. If you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, at the end of next week, I'll be launching my year-long, what I'm calling my goal sabbatical series. So that will be tracking my journey in video through Europe and through Southeast Asia over the next 7 months. So definitely subscribe and check that out. That should be fun. And last, I'm on Instagram at The Coach K Show, no spaces. And that's kind of where I post things daily. That's where I'll post links to the podcast and update things on a daily basis so that you can never miss anything.
Awesome. And I'll have all of those linked up in the show notes as well as your book, Confined to a Cave, and where people can buy that as well.
Books on Amazon. Just type in Confined to a Cave or type in my name and you'll find it.
Perfect. So my last question for you is, what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
The laptop lifestyle to me means that I can do what I want and I can dictate how my day is going to go on my own terms. The laptop lifestyle gives me freedom and gives me an ability to see things and to do things differently than the status quo. And because of the nature of that lifestyle, I think I'm more susceptible or more capable of achieving the goals that I want to achieve. When I'm forced to fit into somebody else's standards or put into somebody else's box with a nice bow tie put on top, it's hard for me to live on my terms and feel like I'm truly in control of everything that I'm doing. But living the laptop lifestyle to me keeps me congruent with my values and with the outcomes I'm trying to produce for myself.
Amen, brother. I can't thank you enough for being on the show. And I just feel blessed to know you. I feel blessed to bring you to my audience. And I cannot wait to see you set the world on fire.
Likewise, Alexis, it's been in our short time knowing each other, it's been a pleasure. And I am very excited to continue to grow alongside and see what you do with the laptop lifestyle. And to your listeners and to you, please let me know how I can help you guys going forward.